The New Testament scripture today is found in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, starting with verses 21. So let's hear the word of God. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, his parents brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what was stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought that child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed by what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after a marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there, fasting and praying day and night, night and day. And that moment she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child was filled and grew strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. This is the word of the Lord in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. My friend Agnes called me last night when I was working on the sermon. She's in South Carolina, so she is already done. And she was calling me, and it was important because this Sunday is her last Sunday at her church. She's been there 8 years. She's moving on to something else. And I thought she'd preach her typical kind of goodbye sermon, something special. And I said, "Agnes, what are you preaching?" And she said, "Oh, I'm preaching from the lectionary, one of the prescribed passages." She goes, "I'm preaching on the baptism of Jesus." She said, "It just fits. I'm thinking about how in my 8 years here, we've had 180 baptisms. That's pretty amazing." She said, "That's not supposed to be happening in the world." And she says, "It talks about hope and growth of God that's beyond me." And she said, "We're trusting the future of the church to those 180 and everyone else in these pews." And she said, "Maggie, what are you preaching?" And I said, "Oh, I'm preaching on the circumcision of Jesus." She said, "You know, really?" I said, "Yeah, I just couldn't go to the adult baptism of Jesus story. I wasn't there yet." And she said, "Oh, well, wouldn't that have been a lovely goodbye sermon, the circumcision of Jesus? That is one they would not have forgotten." And then with that lovely note, she hung up to, you know, have her dinner when I kept on working. And I thought, you know, I really wanted to preach this sermon because I wasn't ready to go to Jesus being grown up yet. I mean, I wasn't ready to leave it. Just last Sunday, we told a story about the wise men, the Epiphany. And now we move into this story, and it tends to kind of get overlooked and forgotten. But I think when we skip this passage, we miss the beauty of the story. And when I read this story this week, I saw a picture painted in my mind's eye of what is called a triptych. Does anyone know? It's an old word. It's about three pictures or three kind of panels. And the ones I knew were tiny. The medieval church used them. The Orthodox churches used them. And people would take these three pictures, and they'd carry them anywhere they went, and they'd open them up, and it's like they had a little church there. It's like they had a chapel with them. It's like something holy came into their ordinary lives when they couldn't get into a place of worship. And I imagine the triptych, the pictures of this scripture would go like this. The first one would be Mary and Joseph kind of holding the baby child after he'd been circumcised. They were trying to calm him. They were rocking him back and forth. Maybe they were singing a hymn like that one we sang for something to kind of remind him that life would not always be this bad. And then I see the second picture of Mary and Joseph bringing the child into the two temple. I think Joseph has in his arms two kind of scraggly pigeons, and they're both wearing their very best clothes, but they're clothes that are kind of worn out, and they're well washed, and they're mended around the edges. That's the second picture. And the third picture is my favorite. The third picture has old Simeon. They say he's old, and I think he's kind of you know, bent over a little bit, and he is holding that child, Jesus, and on his face is this look of delight and satiation and just satisfaction that he's holding that child. And then the other side are his parents kind of looking like, oh my goodness. And over here is Anna, this old priestess, just waiting to get her turn at the baby. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And this triptych, the story, still paints pictures on us just like it imprinted the hearts and the minds and the spirit of those that were here. It helped to understand these three pictures a bit better by understanding some of the traditions of the day. In Jesus's time, a family would mark the birth of a baby boy by about four rituals. The first one is they would circumcise that baby 8 days after he was born. And on that day, he would be officially named. His name, this child, was Jesus. It wasn't a family name, so already it was starting off a little bit odd. And then the mother would go into a purification time. And this is kind of interesting. It was a time when the mother would be set apart. She wouldn't leave her house. She wouldn't go to temple. Other women would kind of be around her and help her. For a boy, this time was 40 days. For a girl child, it was 80. It's just odd. I guess it was better to have a boy, but I bet the women liked the 80 days because you got some more time with just friends and family. And when that purification, that set-apart time, was done, then the children would bring that baby into the temple. And they would dedicate him, and they would dedicate him with an offering. And that those pictures in that triptych, they tell us something about Jesus' parents. First, it tells them that these are good and faithful Jewish folk. I mean, they did everything that was required of them. If the law said it, they did it. And a standard offering when a child was born, a male child, would have been a lamb. I mean, that was worth a lot of money. It would have been a lamb. But it says in the scriptures, if you didn't have enough money for a lamb, you could give two turtle doves or two pigeons. There's a lot of difference, a lamb and two pigeons. And what this picture tells us is Mary and Joseph were poor. There's no other way to put it. Their offering was the offering of the poor. And I imagine they went in that temple with those very best clothes that they had. I mean, I imagine they'd been washed so many times you could kind of see light through the cloth. And they bring their baby in, and I bet they're just, I don't know, I bet they feel a bit less than. They're in the big temple, and there's all this movement, and other people have lots to offer, and all they have are these two little pigeons. And I wonder if they're hoping that no one will really notice them, that that's kind of the goal, just get in there, do it, and go on home. There was also a tradition when a firstborn son came into a family, he was redeemed by the giving of 5 shekels to the temple. It was an old tradition. If you remember that story of Samuel, where his mother dedicated him to the temple, and at a certain age he grew up to be a priest, to be one of those. Well, the tradition was you'd bring your baby and you'd bring 5 shekels to kind of redeem him. Because kind of a symbolism. Otherwise, he'd be one of those ones that would stay in the temple. Do you notice in the story, it doesn't say anything about that money. It doesn't say anything about the shekels. I wonder if that means maybe they just didn't have the 5 shekels and they were kind of getting in and out with no one noticing. Or maybe in some sense they knew that this baby would go for the redemption of the world. Maybe they knew. Maybe it's a mix. I don't know. But Mary and Joseph's actions, they spoke of the future. They foreshadowed what would happen. How Jesus' heart and Jesus' mind and compassion would be for the poor and for the needy. And Jesus would truly give his life in the service of God. But I don't think the parents were thinking such lofty thoughts on that day. They were hoping that the baby Jesus would be quiet, and maybe that those pigeons would be an acceptable sacrifice. See, I think they were hoping that it would be a really ordinary, smooth, boring in and out in the temple. I don't think they expected to encounter someone like Simeon and Anna, up close and personal. I mean, Barclay describes Anna and Simeon as the quiet in the land. They were the quiet in the land. And what he meant by that is these were not people that dreamed of power and prestige, money and stature, being recognized. These are people that really didn't care much about life beyond the walls of the temple. They lived a life of constant prayer, of quiet watchfulness for what God would do. They dedicated their lives for waiting for God, patiently waiting for God, not just 2 hours a week, every day a week. And that Simeon, he had had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he waited and longed for and hungered for the consolation of Israel. That's an interesting word, consolation. We don't say that very much. It comes from the word to console, to comfort. He waited for the day when God would come and comfort and heal all the people. It's like that passage that we read from Isaiah. He was waiting for the day that actually would happen. He knew and believed it would happen in his lifetime. And you know, I think people just thought he was a bit odd. I mean, he came there every day. Maybe it was kind of cute when he was like a young boy and he got older, but he kept waiting a long time. The tradition tells us he's as old as Anna, you know, 84 plus. And there he is waiting, praying, because he believed it would be revealed in his lifetime. I don't know how he kept it up. He's gotten older. I think I'm old some days. Well, it's more than me. And he believed he wouldn't die until that came. So he kept on coming. And I suspect people kind of called him a fool. Don't you think, he and Anna? Reminds me of Flannery O'Connor, who wrote once, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you odd." I kind of stuck by that passage. You're going to live the truth, and you're going to be odd because of it. I kind of see that as Simeon and Anna. I mean, just imagine that. There is this young couple, and Simeon comes up and grabs the child. I mean, maybe he said nicely, "May I see this baby?" And I expect the parents were going, "Okay." And when he probably cooed and made those goofy faces we make because we think it will please children. And I suspect they expected him to say something like, "What a fine child, what a fine baby boy." And he says instead, "Master, oh God, you are now dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all people, and the light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel." Really? The passage says that Joseph and Mary were amazed. It can also be translated, wondered what was going on. And if that wasn't enough, then he blesses the couple, and then he speaks directly to Mary. And he said, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Oh, my Lord, if she was uneasy, I expect she was more uneasy now. No wonder the scripture tells us they were amazed and wondered who this man could be and what would happen in the life of their child. When Simeon and Anna encountered Jesus, my friend Doug Hunneke said, when they actually held that living, breathing Jesus in their arms, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond dogma or doctrine or law, that love had come in flesh for everyone. And in that moment, both Anna's and Simeon's lives started over again. Gratitude welled up in them, and their life took on new meaning and urgencies. And that's what happens when you look into the face of Christ enfleshed in new, in awe, in wonder, in appreciation. And then you can allow that grown-up Christ to make you wise in spirit and experience the grace of God in your life. I wondered if a little bit of that I was waiting to hear this passage. I need to have that awe kind of revived in me. I wonder if we need that sense of gratitude kind of welled up in us again so that we can long to be wise in spirit. So I think in some ways maybe you have come a bit numb and jaded to the telling of the Christ story, of God enfleshed in humankind in this world. I wonder if we need a taste of their joy and expectation in our lives. I wonder how in that moment Simeon was able to say, "It's enough. Did you get that? I can die now in peace. I have seen the Messiah. He's satisfied. He's satiated. And it's been just enough to be there, just to have a moment." Because you know, Mama Mary took that baby out of his hands, and then it was taken by Anna. I'm just stunned that that was enough. They had waited their whole lives to see Israel renewed, and this is what they got. They were odd and interesting and ordinary and easily looked over people. I mean, they waited and they prayed and they hung out in the temple. They had patience and fidelity and expectation and hope. Ooh, those are words we're looking for. Who I'm looking to be patient and have fidelity. Yay. But you know, that's the kind of the real life of stuff. You come in this church and you're showing some faithfulness and some fidelity and some patience. I love how they were able just in that moment to think this is enough. I mean, by the time Jesus reached his adulthood, these two were long dead. They never knew what happened We don't hear anything. They didn't hear anything. It was enough just to get a taste. And in that moment, their lives were transformed. I'm caught that there they were in the temple, praying, living, being attentive. And in the midst of prayer and worship, their lives were infused and transformed. In the ordinary pews, it happened. See, I imagine that those two, because they were waiting for the Lord, because they believed it could happen, they noticed things no one else noticed. They noticed people whose lives had gone to hell actually got a little bit better. Maybe they noticed the meager offerings and the big offerings and the people behind them. I imagine they were of help. I imagine that Anna sat by the side of the temple and helped all those lost country folk who brought their offering. I imagine that if Simeon had a little bit of extra food, he brought it out to those that needed because they waited. And I think, in a sense, another friend reminded me that we hardly have more than they have when it comes to encounters with the holy. We have the scriptures that school and shape us in hope and attentiveness. We have stories and covenants and signs. We have moments or memories of moments when the tender compassion of this Christ becomes real. We have memories or moments where lives are transformed. We get to see just a glimpse. And we also have had children entrusted to our care who have come to blessing. I mean, I think of your boy, Logan. I mean, he just went to school today, and we raised him. I took him to a free lunch. It's what I do with college students. And I said to the group that I was meeting with, I'm taking Logan to lunch today. And they said, great. So when he came into the church, he said, Maggie, all these people said hello to me. I said, they raised you. I told them you were going out to lunch. And he went, oh, yes. Because in that one are our hopes. And he's really grown up well with God. And so we raise our children and our young people to trust the future with them. We're trusting the future in this church to people who will come and sit in our pews who we don't know and who are yet to come. Because, you know, we kind of think we figured it out. Surprise, this building going to be here long after me, long after you. And we're trusting that God will bring folks in. So we live in the sense of just a taste, just a little bit, but it's enough to keep us going. So I realized I really was longing for this passage this week, for this triptych. I was longing to be reminded that God used ordinary old people like us, old men, old women, poor folks, folks that waited and were attentive and ordinary and just a bit odd. Because there's a glimpse, just enough, friends. See, I think if you're attentive, if you wait, there will be a glimpse, enough of a glimpse to get you where you are and to wait for God. We're not going to see it to completion. That is God's work. But may we seek the light and have the light this day and be that for others. As we take out that triptych, we put it back and pull it out when you need. For this God in the story, this little baby, does grow up and promises to be with us and be with this world. Amen.
Let us bow our heads as we open our hearts for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the hush of a new year, reborn in the wonders of your love. As we reflect on past weeks, we recall hearing the angels tell Mary and Joseph the good news, that a child will be born to them, and they shall call him Jesus. We treasure the visions of the manger and the infant lying there. We hear the angels proclaiming to the shepherds to follow the star, and we absorb the goodness that was given to us on that starry night. While festivities swirled around us and the craziness at times overwhelmed us, it did not detour us from the meaning of this holy season. Oh God, we thank you so much for this blessing and for this knowledge. Give us the will to hold that spirit within us all year. Let us always see the star and remember. Fill us with love and mercy for those more unfortunate than us. Guide our leaders in the same path of enlightenment and concern for the welfare of all. May each of us resolve our resolve and strengthen our resolve to do the best we can for our family, our church, our city, our country, and our world. May that same resolve live within all leaders who sometimes lose sight of the fact that there is a greater good. We send prayers and ask your deepest blessings on all who grieve, who suffer, who are hungry and cold, worried and frustrated, sick and alone, depressed and forlorn. Give them strength to develop an inner peace and an ability to better their lives. We sorrow for those who are immersed in conflicts of war and divisiveness. We regret the senselessness brought on by gun violence. May somehow, Lord, some way, an understanding of what is good bring a conclusion to this insanity. Within our own church walls, we ask your blessings of peace on Evelyn Mulberg and her daughter as they transcend into a new routine. We ask for comfort to those who have recently lost a loved one. We pray healing for recently hospitalized Lois Nason and Charles Byrne. And we ask for the successful birth of a child for the daughter and husband of Heather Losey, and especially for the swift recovery for Pam and Jeff Byers. Enrich the souls of all within these walls who seek your guidance and love. We especially ask your blessing on John and Pam Sebastian, Randy and Andrea Smith, Jordan, Logan, and Cameron Hollersmith, Nancy and Oliver Spencer, Sally and Chloe Spencer, Rosemary Springer, our neighbors, all who worship with us today, and the Presbyterian Mission co-workers in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, John and Gwenda Fletcher. May we continue to remember the promise and the joy of Christmas and the message it brought to our hearts. The message, out of the silence there is music, out of the darkness there is light, out of uncertainty there is promise, for hope was born that night. Let us not keep silent, but spread the word. And in that true spirit of hope, let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
But you give of yourself, you give of your labors, because when each does a bit, the church runs and we spread the good news around the world. It's not just about us, it's about God's work everywhere. amazing, loving God, you enfleshed, you came into the world and are still here. Help us to be people who wait, who expect, who live in the present and leave the rest to you. Amen. I charge you to sit in this place and go out in the world with patience, fidelity, longing, expectation, all too much for you, but with God we can live into that. So go out like odd people, because you are God's and God chose you in spite of who you are, and God sees gifts in you. And you are God's child. The Christ can still lead and transform and amaze you. And the Holy Spirit still says, wait and look and see. May it be so. Amen.